Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm your host, Pam, and I run half marathons in 28 states and completed 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the Tybee Island, Georgia Half Marathon and the Jamestown, Rhode Island Half Marathon, as well as we'll touch on some terrific sources of inspiration. At some point in your running, or maybe for your entire running journey, you might be training or attending a race by yourself. And my guidance is go for it. Logistically, it may be hard to coordinate all 50 state races with others, so don't let that derail you. Find a race that works with your schedule and run. You may have to think about training and race day experiences differently, but you might also find that racing by yourself will bring its own rewards. At least twice in recent years, I've found myself attending a race alone. For one, I went to the Tybee Island race when I was visiting family in South Carolina, and I decided to slip away for a few hours to head south to Georgia to check off another state on my 50-state list. The race was the first Saturday in February, and I drove down from South Carolina and to pick up my bib number, and I'm really glad that I did. I was visiting family in South Carolina a bit inland, but when I travel down to Tybee Island, it's a barrier island about a 30-minute drive from Savannah, and I discovered it was farther than I thought, and it was windier than I expected. So it was really good to kind of, knowing I was going to be there by myself the next day, to kind of plan ahead what layers to bring, and also to know that distance beforehand. And Tybee Island, like many barrier islands in February, was very, very quiet. And so it was very much of the off season. So the feeling and the vibe of the town was very quiet. So after picking up my bib number, I was able to kind of scout out the pier, and there was a beautiful pavilion and these really cool beach swings that I had all to myself. And then I was able to kind of walk around the historic lighthouse, and they had a historic fort area. So it was wonderful to kind of take that all in, but it really reminded me that I was going to be in a small race, and I was going to be very much probably by myself on race day, which definitely was the case the next morning. So on the next day, I had the city streets all to ourselves. When we were running, we ran down the island, we turned right, and then we came back up a side street. And I'm sure there were spectators, but there really didn't feel like very many. But one spectator I do recall was a woman who had placed a mat on her driveway, and she was jump roping to music while she was cheering. And it was, you know, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I can't jump rope for 5 minutes. I couldn't imagine doing it for an hour or more while people ran by. I was just so impressed. And it got me thinking about another time when I saw something like that. My husband was doing a big city race, and a cycling studio moved all their stationary bikes out onto the sidewalk so the riders could pedal along while watching the race. And for the next distance, when I was in Georgia running this race, I thought about that woman jumping rope and thought about the cyclists out pedaling while watching the race. And I just thought, what a clever way to rethink spectating. So it was just kind of one of those, you know, things you think about when you have no one to talk to on a road race. You let your mind wander. So, you know, given Tybee Island's proximity to Savannah, and definitely knowing that there's lots of sightseeing around the Savannah area, I would highly recommend this race, even if you're there traveling by yourself. A second time I ran by myself is I went down to Jamestown, Rhode Island. And Rhode Island has some terrific race venues. There is a spectacular Newport race. They do marathons, half marathons, a 10-miler there. I feel like there's a race every weekend in Newport. There's the scenic Colt State Park, which is in Bristol, Rhode Island. Again, another incredibly scenic venue if you're going to do a race. And then there are races in places like Narragansett and Providence. So a lot to choose from if you're trying to check Rhode Island off your list. But for the Jamestown race, I ended up staying over in Middletown, Rhode Island. And because Rhode Island is such a small state, it actually wasn't that far away, maybe a 30-minute drive through Newport and then up over the Newport Bridge. And the Jamestown race also was a Saturday race. It was in September, and it was also very, very small. It began and ended at Fort Getty, which was a historic fort, I believe, on one of the other small islands in the Narragansett Bay. And it was a very, very flat course. There were not many runners. I don't recall a single spectator. There were plenty, though, of grazing herds of sheep, which was it was just beautiful. And I have to say that throughout the years, Jamestown has always been a place that I have driven quickly through. For a time, I worked at the University of Rhode Island, so I would drive Route 138 east over the Jamestown Bridge and Newport Bridge, crossing over the Narragansett Bay to Newport. But having the opportunity to experience the island and just the beautiful bucolic setting as a runner was such a treat. It just allowed me to slow down and take in the beautiful setting with the Pell Bridge in the distance and to just see miles and miles and miles of stone walls and farmland. It was really beautiful. I would love to go back. It did feel decadent, and I think this is true for many maybe runners in our midlife with works and jobs and family. It really did feel decadent to take time out for myself, but this race was a reminder to continue to work on my own goals while supporting others in their aspirations. So yet another reason why, if you have the opportunity to do a race and it doesn't align with other people, you should definitely go for it. And if the idea of small races is appealing to you, and depending on where you live, there are some races that I am very fond of. One in the New England area is the Green Mountain Marathon and Half Marathon in South Hero, Vermont. This is located about 20 minutes northwest of Burlington, Vermont, and the course runs along Lake Champlain, and it's just a perfect place to spend a late fall weekend. Another wonderful race, the Jackson Hole, Wyoming Half Marathon, runs from the Grand Teton National Park down into the town of Jackson Hole. Absolutely breathtaking backdrop and a really good turnout of 50 staters. The year that I was there, we in fact met a participant from Rhode Island who was on her 49th state. Of course, her 50th state was Hawaii, as it is for so many of us. And I think my all-time favorite small race is the Avenue of the Giants, which takes place in Humboldt Redwood State Park, which is 200 miles north of San Francisco. Not easy to get to, but oh my gosh, so worth it. The entire course, you are canopied by towering sequoias. It's just magnificent. So when it comes to training or racing alone, I was thinking about some tips, and I think being mentally prepared is key. I know for me, the night before I'm going to be doing a race by myself, I really try to visualize the course, trying to know where miles, for example, 6, miles 9, mile 12 might be. And I make a race day plan. So I think about, okay, at mile 6, what am I going to look forward to? And it may be something really simple, like taking off the outer shirt that I maybe started the race with and tying it around my waist or ditching it at a water stop. And at mile 9, depending on how I'm doing that day, I might allow myself to start listening to music if I've brought earbuds with me. And lastly, kind of around a mile 11 or 12, I will take my final goo or have some kind of, probably a jelly bean or something I'll do to look forward to. So I think it's so important to just be super self-sufficient, knowing there may not be spectators and probably not family support. And I think if you're traveling alone, you know, some of the hardest things to sort out are what to do with the car keys, what to do with the hotel key. Nothing is worse than the rental car key fobs. They're just large and bulky. And I don't know where to put those, but it's something to kind of, figure out the night before versus on race day. And I always try to scope out the start and finish if I'm traveling by myself, just to make sure I know kind of the lay of the land. And most recently, when I was up in South Hero in Vermont, the half marathon started like a quarter of a mile away from where the marathon was starting. So you really had to move up to the starting line well ahead of the actual start. And I'm so glad I kind of knew that beforehand versus kind of wondering what everybody was doing. When I am racing alone, I usually will wear my 50 state shirt. It's a bright yellow shirt that on the back of it has a picture of all 50 states, obviously including Hawaii and Alaska. And I think it just invites conversation from other 50 staters or from folks who might be wondering about it. So I think, again, if I'm racing by myself, I'm more apt to wear that to just, maybe strike up conversation at the starting line or out on the course. I certainly will make a special music list. So I might on Spotify or whatever my listening is to just kind of create a playlist that I have something to look forward to that'll be just for that race. And again, depending on the day, I might start listening to it at mile 9 or definitely further along in the race. I usually don't start with music. And I will absolutely wear a hydration belt. That isn't something that I always wear, but when I am traveling by myself and running by myself, knowing that there's not family support, knowing it might be a really small race, there's something very reassuring about wearing a hydration belt, having water in it, having some goo in it, and obviously making sure it's a hydration belt that I'm comfortable with, you know, remembering that it's only as good as it works for you. So even if it doesn't have the highest reviews on Amazon, that's okay, as long as it works for you. And I was thinking about, you know, not everybody has the goal of running all 50 states, but maybe you're looking to expand your running. And I would say another option is to look at local race series. I know for me and other runners, after doing one race, I maybe thought about, okay, how do I want to kind of expand my running experience? And local race series is a wonderful way to do it. And in our area, for example, there are two that I know of. One is called the Will Run for Beer series, and it's a total of 11 races. And if you complete 5 of them, you earn a fleece. And obviously the races are everything from 5Ks to 10Ks to half marathon. So you can put any kind of combination together. And, you know, again, over time, you're going to build camaraderie with people out there, just seeing them at, again, at the series of 11 races that are held over the course of a year. And another one in our area is called the Seacoast Road Race Series. Oftentimes you might see people out, I think they have a red jacket that you earn if you've run, I don't know, maybe 5 out of the 7 races. So I think those are really nice things to think about if you're not up for doing all 50 states, but are interested in kind of building camaraderie with a running community. So at this point, we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. In today's episode, we're talking about racing or training alone and the rewards you have from that experience. And I also wanted to just speak about a couple of sources of inspiration if you don't have friends who run or you're just looking for new ideas. And so I thought I would just mention a couple that have been really helpful to me. And the first one, it started with Runner's World magazine. So in our household, Runner's World magazine comes into the house, obviously. And looking back over like 15 years ago, it definitely was the go-to resource for runners. It had lots of race information. It profiled really terrific runners. And the opening pages usually included just gorgeous, gorgeous photographs of spectacular running venues. You know, think of a New England dirt road and the peak of fall foliage with a solo runner taking in the beauty. And the magazine, for me, always felt a little bit off limits because it was always talking about kind of competitive running experiences. But there was one exception, and that was a column that was written by John Bingham, who went on to write several running books. And his first book was called The Courage to Start. And one of the quotes from his book is that the miracle isn't that I finished, the miracle is that I had the courage to start. And he wrote about what it's like to be kind of a regular person, as he would describe, kind of the back of the pack crew who laces up and gets out and runs. And he ended up opening up the world of running to many, many individuals. And he went on to, you know, have a very successful running career himself, but more so creating accessible athletes in many individuals who didn't see themselves that way, making the sport very accessible to many individuals. So I'd highly recommend John Bingham's Courage to Start and that idea of it does take courage to start, but it will just open up so many doors in terms of race experiences. The other person I love to follow, I don't have her full name, but she writes a blog and she has an Instagram account called Run, Eat, Repeat. And she's gone on to become a really great runner. But with humor and, again, with being very approachable, she speaks about integrating running into her everyday life. And it's just another great reminder of finding inspiration, whether it's through writers or through Instagram posts, but recognizing that sometimes just reading a post or reading a paragraph of a book will be enough to get you out the door for that particular run for that day. And I have to admit, I'm a sucker for the motivational speeches on Spotify. You can put into your search engine, you know, motivational speeches, and there are ones that are called Evolve or Don't Quit. And sometimes I'll just listen to those for the first 5 minutes, and it just keeps you going and gets you out the door. And really, that's the goal of just getting out the door. Then the miles will just happen. In terms of finishing races, I will say one of the things that I have routinely done, and I think it's just a nice way to stretch out that finish. You know, for so many, finishing the race, you cross that finish line. And last week, Kathleen and I were joking about how we wear our finisher medals for a victory lap for the entire day. But there are other ways of kind of extending that feeling of completion. So for me, it's with my 50 states jersey. I will take a Sharpie pen and color in another state. I will also have a spreadsheet on my computer, and I'll check off another state on my spreadsheet. I have a 50 states list on my phone. I'll add that state to my phone. And before I put my running clothes in the washing machine, I'll take the bib off the shirt, and on the back of the bib, I'll write some notes about the race, and then I'll tuck the race bib and my medal into this little binder I have that's just like a race binder. So again, I can look back at it over time. So I feel like all of those little rituals, again, help extend that feeling of the finish, and just another way to kind of note, again, the success of getting towards a goal. I know when we have guests in the studio, we talk about favorite running shoes and favorite tech items. So I just thought I'd mention some of those here. But I, too, like many of my guests, am loving Hokas. Obviously, they're a relatively new shoe, but they are just, it is like running on clouds. They're wonderful. I have to say, one of my favorite tech items is something called Night Trek, and they are tactical shoe lights. So here in New England, where it's very dark in the morning or in the evening, you just clip these into your laces. They have a blinking setting. They have a solid bright white setting, and they just illuminate the road while you run and obviously make you really visible to oncoming traffic. So those are really great. They're called Night Trek tactical shoe lights, and I've really enjoyed those. And in terms of a bucket list race, honestly, I feel so fortunate. I've been to so many places, and so there isn't any place that's really I'm craving to go to. I guess I would say I feel like someday I need to do one of these back-to-back races where individuals run one state one day and then they run another state the next day. I feel like that's a rite of passage that hopefully someday I will be able to do. And I do have some things I say to myself when the going gets tough, and one that I share with so many individuals because it applies to running, but it can apply to so much in life, is I say to myself, don't make decisions on the uphill. Let the ground level out and then assess. So on my daily run with my running group, we have a very long, steady hill. And it would be very easy on that steady hill to just say, you know what, today I'm only going to do 4, or you know what, today I'm not going to go as far as I thought. But instead, what I've learned to say to myself is don't make a decision right now. Just motor up that hill. And invariably, when the ground levels out, it's just, all right, I'm good to go. And I will go farther than if I had made that decision on the uphill. And so I think that's also, you know, I think it comes up in life where things are happening and you might make a decision in the moment, but if you just let the situation play out, you might make a better decision. And so I think not making decisions on the uphill is probably one of my mantras that I lean into quite a bit. And on a very simple level, when it's a very, very steep hill, I simply will count backwards. I will just go from 99 down to 1 in hopes that I'm at 1 when I reach that top of the hill. So trying to maybe distract myself from looking at the hill and instead just counting it backwards. So I've enjoyed revisiting races that I have run by myself, and I hope to keep racing, and I hope that you keep a race on your schedule. Even if it doesn't work out to run with family or with friends, definitely go for it. In coming episodes, we'll be back talking to guests about races in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Memphis, Tennessee, Madison, Wisconsin, Detroit, Michigan, as well as I mentioned one of my favorite races, the Avenue of the Giants, which my husband and I did, and I think for both of us is just one of the most fabulous races ever. Thank you for tuning in to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. You can find additional episodes on all podcast platforms. Until next time, I hope you feel energized about planning your next race. Happy running.